Friends, we come to you with another message from the Bible. We are giving you a series of lectures now on most all the modern fallacies of religious groups of people all over the world, as contrasted to the very literal written Word of God itself. We are introducing these series of messages by giving you the various methods of interpretation that men have used in times past in connection with the Bible. We first dealt with the Jewish method of interpretation, then the allegorical method of interpretation, and now we want to deal with the rationalistic method of interpretation with the view of showing you what mistakes men have made in seeking to find hidden meanings to the Word of God, or in seeking to do away with plain literal truth to substitute whatever fancy and imagination that they chose according to the various groups of religion. All right, now the rationalistic method of interpretation is simply this. It's very rationalistic in spirit, and it substitutes reason for faith. In other words, if things do not sound reasonable to the natural man, then it is rejected. Human speculation is substituted for divine revelation. It makes no difference whether God claimed to say a certain thing or some Bible writer claimed that God told him this particular thing. If it doesn't have an appeal to the natural man and the natural man cannot see the possibility of such a thing being fulfilled in the natural realm by natural means, then we class that as a dream of some man in the historic past. Similar, a man, a founder of German rationalism, put forth the view that the supernatural element in Scripture, such as miracles, healings, eternal judgment, atonement, resurrections, and other divine elements claimed of Scripture, element claims of Scripture, should be disregarded as an accommodation to superstitious notions of the ages past, and to the religious prejudices, and to the gross ignorance of the particular times of the writers themselves. This method of interpretation makes God, Christ, and the Holy Spirit, and the Bible writers mere liars and deceivers, playing upon the masks and the ignorance of the people. Paulus, another German rationalist, advanced another theory. He accepted the narrative of the Gospels, but maintained that we are at liberty to explain them according to our own opinions. His position led him to reject all the supernatural element of Scripture also, and to explain the miracles of Jesus as mere acts of kindness, or exhibitions of medical skill, or illustrations of personal power and tact. Such stories being worked up by the writers according to the peculiar literary methods of the age in which the writers lived. He explained that the daughter of Jairus being resurrected from the dead simply meant that the child was sleeping and that Jesus performed hypnotism to awaken her, as if you had to have hypnotism to wake anybody out of an ordinary sleep. What foolishness! Jesus did not actually walk on the sea, he claimed, but on the land. It looked like he was walking on the sea from where the people were. When Peter jumped, Jesus caught him by reaching out from the shore. Now, aren't those wonderful explanations of simple miracles recorded in the Gospels? My Lord, if God could only have mercy upon such men, and upon us all, and give us just a little common sense in understanding the Bible. And we're going to get to that common sense method of interpretation soon. Strauss, another Bible interpreter, whose life of Jesus created a sensation among some former church people who are always ready to accept anything that comes along in the name of religion. He held that after the death of Christ, his disciples made up the stories of his life by following mythical legends from which it is our duty to disentangle them from the facts. Thus the story of the wise men grew out of Balaam's prophecy of a star rising in the east. The slaughter of the innocents was developed from Pharaoh's order to kill the infant male children of the Hebrews as far back as the time of Moses. The flight into Egypt grew out of the flight of Moses into Midian. The feeding of the multitudes grew out of the story of manna falling from heaven. Rationalism, in a word, is simply this. In other words, the rationalistic interpretation is this. Whatever is not in harmony with educated mentality is to be rejected. And when you have such educated mentality, rejecting the plain word of God, you've got men like Jesus Christ referred to in Matthew 13 when he said, "The heart of this people is waxed gross. Their ears are dull of hearing, lest at any time they should hear with their ears and understand with their heart and be converted, and I should heal them." He said, "They have closed their eyes. They have closed their ears. They have shut their heart out from believing the word of God." And then men claim that they have more education than the Bible itself. Those are the kind of men that Jesus referred to in his prayer when he lifted up his eyes one time and said, "Father, I thank thee that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hath revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for thus it seemed good in thy sight." Yes, when you get to the place where you substitute so-called modern higher education for the highest education the world could ever receive through the simple Bible, then you are on your road to eternal destruction. The Bible teaches us that the devil comes and steals the word of God out of the hearts of people lest it should germinate, and that's exactly what so-called higher education is doing when it does away with the Bible. Yes, the devil does actually steal the Bible, the truth of the Bible, from the hearts of men, lest they should become converted and save their own eternal souls. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4 that if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel, who is the image of Christ, should shine unto them. Yes, in the name of education and high enlightenment, the scriptures are being rejected as a product of ignorant men and as mere human documents like all other books. The doctrines of sin, depravity, hell, atonement, and other fundamental doctrines of the Bible offend the liberals so much that they have to be rejected as relics of the ancient past. Karl Barth, at the end of World War I, ushered in a new era of biblical interpretation. It is called neo-orthodoxy because it dissevers itself from liberalism and seeks to recover the insights of the reformers. It makes a new effort to rediscover the theological interpretations of the Bible. This movement makes it very clear that the historical orthodox position with reference to inspiration, revelation, and biblical criticism can no longer be maintained. It denies the infallibility, the revelation, and inspiration and inerrancy of the entire Bible. It holds that science, anthropology, history, and geology contradict the Bible. It holds that the Bible is not the revelation of God directly, but a record and a witness to such a revelation. To say the least, all the above methods of interpretation which we have considered must be rejected, and men must come back to a simple historical, grammatical, and literal interpretation of the Bible if the full truth is to be had, and if they are going to escape the utter foolishness of fancies and imaginations that have led the church into fallacies of hundreds of kind. I have collected together hundreds and hundreds of fallacies throughout the Christian world. And I'm going to bring those fallacies to you, one after the other, and I'm going to let you see from the Bible itself how literally and how clearly the Bible is in opposition to these modern fallacies in certain religious quarters. All right, now we have dealt with the various methods, human methods of interpretation, such as the Jewish method, the allegorical method, the rationalistic method, and the neo-orthodoxy method of interpreting the Bible. Now we're going to get right to the Bible itself, to the simple Word of God in its utter simplicity. And I'm going to show you and prove to you from the Bible, and I'm going to reason with you out of the Scriptures to try to bring you back to a simple revelation of God. I'm going to show you how literally clear and simple the Bible is on every question of life. There isn't one question you could possibly ask about the Bible, but what can be fully answered by several statements in the Bible itself. The Bible demands two or three plain scriptures to answer any question or to prove any point. And that we have promised to show you. Now we come to a simple way of how to understand the Bible. I'm not telling you that it's the way to interpret the Bible. I don't believe the Bible needs any interpretation. I believe all it needs is a simple faith that the Bible is self-interpreting. That one scripture interprets another. So I don't call any of my methods of understanding the Bible how to interpret the Bible. I'd rather call it how not to interpret the Bible, because it really does not need to be interpreted. It is self-interpreting. So I say the better term to use is how to understand the Bible, not how to interpret it. For it is in itself very clear in its entirety and needs no human interpretation in the sense men use the word interpretation in modern times. All one must do to find out what God says and where he says it, and then believe what is already clearly written without human interpretation. That's really all one must do. You don't have to change one word of Scripture in order to get a true and a simple meaning out of any one verse. Now then, it is the height of folly, I claim, to interpret God's revelation, or even to interpret God himself, as if God could not possibly make known to men what he wanted them to know himself, in the human language of men, as if men themselves were giving such a revelation. So the height of folly is to interpret God or God's revelation. For this would be throwing a reflection upon God as not being intelligent enough to make clear in human language that which he seeks to make known to men in their own language. In other words, what God says is sufficient in itself without human interpretation, which so naturally leads to human change of what is clearly intended by God himself when he said what he did. Why would God have to wait until some special interpreter comes along in some generation or in every generation to try to make clear to his particular generation what God did not have intelligence enough to himself to make clear? Why, such is a slander on God himself. All one needs to do is to be sure and get what God says and limit all truth to this and to this alone. If God wanted more to be said on the subject, he would have said it by inspiration through his own writers. If he did not say anything about any particular question, then man does not need to say anything about it either, especially as claiming that such and such a thing is written in the Bible. If God has said something, it is very clear in the Bible itself as to what he has said, and all can see it alike. No interpretation will be necessary, to say the least. One fixed fact is clearly stated through Moses, and here it is. The secret things, that is, the things not revealed, belong unto the Lord our God. But those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of the law. That's a principle that not only applies to the law of Moses, but is just as truthful to all the Word of God. Paul expresses the same thing when he said, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Now that leaves us with the impression that the Bible is literally simple and clear in itself. In fact, when the New Testament writers, including, well, just say any writer of the New Testament, and including Christ in his statements, in his preaching, while here that others recorded later, all of them merely said, "It is written. It is written." Not one of them, not one, not one example from anyone ever led one to believe, now here's what's written, but it does not mean what it says. I'm going to really tell you what it means. God has raised me up to tell you exactly what this means. You don't find any such suggestion of anything like that at all. On the contrary, you have plainly stated it is written, and that's all. That's settled. God leaves it up to the intelligence of the reader to believe what's written. Not that what is written is hard to understand. It is not. But if we don't want to believe what is written, that's our hard luck. It's just too bad for us, that's all. I'm going to give you a new and a common sense approach to the Bible. There are certain common sense facts about the Bible that would revolutionize all modern thinking and bring complete harmony between men of all religious groups on every Bible question if they were recognized and honestly followed to the letter. The Bible is the most simple book in the world to understand. Now that's a statement that I want you to get, and I want you to memorize, and I want you to meditate upon it quite often until you come to agree with me this very thing, that the Bible is the most simple book in the world to understand. Now some of you right now are no doubt want to argue with me. All right, you argue right along. You stay tuned right along with these lectures and argue with me all you want to. But I'm going to show you from your own Bible. And if you want to take the scriptures down, if you want to open your Bible to these various places, I'm going to show you how utterly simple the Bible is to understand. Yes, this statement on the surface seems like blasphemy to the average preacher and teacher and layman of the various church groups. It is not as untrue and blasphemous as it sounds. Let us reason together just for a few minutes and see. A God that is an intelligent being, or as intelligent as we believe that he is, would automatically be intelligent enough to make any revelation from him as clear and as simple as could be, or as much as man could do it at least, so that all men can understand it alike in the very simple way that it is uttered. If God is as intelligent as he is, and if he sought to give man a true revelation of himself, of his plan, of his will, and of all things which he claims is his own revelation, he certainly would have given such revelation to men in the most simple human language possible, so that there would be no misunderstanding between any two men on any one question, that is, providing both were honest enough to accept what is plainly revealed in human language as God inspired human authors to write it. If God, being as intelligent as he really is, sought to hide from men, confuse them, and complicate his revelation to them, so that it would be hard for them to understand, such a God could be accused of wrongdoing and deliberate misunderstanding on the part of man. And this no one will dare believe and propagate, for it is not true. If God could give a revelation in the most simple human language possible, and he did not do this very thing, then it can be universally proclaimed by all alike that the Bible is the most simple book in the world. In other words, if he did do this literally, if he did make it so literally simple and clear, then it can be proclaimed by all alike that this statement is true. The Bible is the most simple book in the world to understand. This is truth. the whole truth and nothing but the truth on this particular point. I have often made the remark not only that the Bible is the most simple book in the world to understand, but that children can understand the Bible better than preachers, teachers, and students of the Bible who are grown up and who should know better than to believe and propagate the most baseless, senseless, and unscriptural theories that most men teach on every hand. Why? Because the children will be simple about what the Bible says and will actually limit their understanding as to what the Bible does say, and will not be biased and full of prejudices and denominational dogmas, spiritual imaginations, self-revelations, and human interpretations of every kind that the average person has been taught. Children have not yet learned the greatest of all fallacies, that the Bible is the most complicated, hard, and impossible book to understand in a simple way. They haven't learned that. Only grown-ups have learned that. And they've learned it from other grown-ups who should know better, because they've had it propagated to them, they've had it spoken to them times without number, that the Bible is the most complicated, difficult book in the world to understand. We pass that on day in and day out until it seems to be the very foundation of all of our understanding of the Bible. The average person looks at the Bible as just the very thought of trying to understand it. He throws up his hands in despair. Says, I can't understand the Bible. That is a lie, whoever said it. I don't care who said it. Whether you said it or I said it, it's a lie. It is not truth. You can understand the Bible, and I'm going to prove to you that you can understand the Bible. They have not been taught that the Bible is such a heavenly, divine, supernatural, out-of-this-world kind of book that only the Pope of Rome and a few special Protestant interpreters can understand. They have not been taught that the unsaved and unspiritual cannot understand the Bible, and that it has to be spiritually interpreted. A child never would get that idea, because that's not stated anywhere in the Word of God for him to get if he would read it. And it's not there for you to read either. They have not been taught that one must be born again and become super spiritual before he cannot possibly understand the Bible. These are some of the most unfortunate and untrue theories ever propagated by hell to the human race. And to say the least, preachers of the Word who should know better are the chief heralds of such a fool idea. I have challenged congregations all over this country to find for me and bring to my lecture services just one mystery, one difficult passage, or one thing in the Bible that was hard to understand. And to this day, no man has accepted my challenge. I've had a few who would say, but what does it mean in referring to a certain passage? All I would have to say is, read it again. If they could not understand it, all I would have to do a second time was say, read it again. And finally it would dawn upon them that it could possibly mean what it says. They could tell me every time they read it exactly what it said. I've had congregations read simple passages, just one verse after another. And every one of those people, believe it or not, read exactly the same words. And it meant exactly the same to every one of all the different church groups that were there. After getting people to accept what is plainly written, then the whole thing is automatically clear. We have no further problem. We don't have to interpret it. We don't have to explain it. It is self-explanatory. If you can tell me what a certain verse says by reading it, then you can believe that that verse means exactly that after you read it, if you want to. And that's the kind of a habit that you need to get into. All right, now for example, let me give you this illustration. If a congregation of people of all denominations would read John 3:16, would they not read the same words? And would not those words be the same to all alike? Let me quote that passage for you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now what is there hard about that verse to understand? I have never heard in all my 47 years of experience with the Bible and religious people I've never heard any two persons differ over John 3:16. They cannot differ over it and believe what it says. And I maintain that you cannot differ on any verse any more than you can John 3:16. If you're going to be sensible, the thing for you to do is both agree that you're going to believe what every verse says, and then you will come out believing that exactly the same thing, because you will have to read the same words alike if you read it together. Men do not need to differ at all on any one question of the Bible or any one scripture of the Bible. Men do not differ over the accepted fact that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. But whosoever should believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. There's no difference there. This is all the verse says, and this is all that it could possibly mean to all alike. If this verse is thus clean because of its general acceptance as to what it says, then John 3:17, 3:18, 3:19, and every verse following verse 16, if accepted at face value, would also be equally clear. And by the way, John 1:1, 1:2, 1:3, and every verse before John 3:16 would be just as clear if we would make up our minds that we're going to believe exactly what is written. And so it goes with all the verses of the Bible. If everything that is plainly written in any verse would be accepted as to what it says, there would be no misunderstanding, and therefore no room for controversy on any Bible question. I maintain that. The chief and only source of controversy between any two men in differing on anything in any part of the Bible is the failure of one or both in accepting what is plainly written on the question at hand. The only difficulty in understanding any of the Bible is that it is a large book written by over 40 different authors, and you have to get what each author says on a particular subject before you have everything the Bible says on that particular question. But if one will be simple enough to say, I will believe everything I find in the Bible on this question, one scripture will interpret and make clear another scripture until all statements are found and read and harmonized, then we do not have the full truth on the question. Therefore, anyone who is biased and dishonest, not willing to face squarely whatever Scripture says on any particular subject, will still be in darkness and misunderstanding on the question involved if he's going to evade certain statements in these various Scriptures. Well, I see we're going to have to close at this point, and we'll continue here in our next lecture. I want to prove to you that the Word of God is the most simple book in the world to understand. All right, now, we have a new edition of the Bible recently published, 4 equal-sized columns to a page, 2 columns of King James text, and 2 columns of notes and helps, not interpreting the Bible, but giving you scriptures where the Bible says such and such things on any particular subject elsewhere in the same Bible. If you'd like to have a brochure on this, you'd like to have information about it, send to Dake Bible Sales. Dake Bible Sales, Station A, Box 1110, Atlanta 10, Georgia. And we'll send you information concerning this new edition of the Holy Scriptures.